This is Fuel.
Fuel for thought.
Fuel injected.
Fuel for your business.
Jet fuel.
I think of new business meetings as theater. New business has got nothing to do with advertising. New business, yeah, I've always said that. New business is about theater and winning the business.
Welcome back to the Fuel Podcast, the new business show, and I'm your host, a Smith called Keith. Fuel is sponsored by new business development platform, The Advertist. If you look after new business for a PR, marketing, digital design, or an advertising agency, then you need The Advertist. It's the only game in town if you want news, insight, data, research, tenders, mergers and acquisitions, and funding news, all to help power your own new business campaigns. We've got over 1,000 different combinations of new business strategies to help your agency grow. Not only that, but The Advertist is priced to fit your new business budget, with discounts for single payments and even a buy now, pay later option. The Advertist gets you to the door, your talent will get you through it. Call the team for a free trial on 0203 356 3717 if you're in the UK, or email hello at theadvertist.com. That's theadvertist.com. Now, it's very easy to fall into the trap of thinking that what's happening to our new business world in the UK means that everywhere else is doing the same. Well, you're about to find out what life is like on the other side of the great pond we call the Atlantic. Hank Blank is one of the best-known new business troubleshooters in the US, but as you'll find out, the world of new business is rather different. In this show, Hank runs us through the highlights of his last 8 months in the USA and gives us his views on hybrid working, agency searches and pitches, the dangers of Zooming too much, and the problems of finding talent despite there being a surplus of it. But before we do that, let's drop in on Jeremy Davis, who's on holiday at the moment, and he's been researching the Internet of Trees.
Jeremy Davis!
The agency website plays a much misunderstood role in the new business process. Its occasional clunkiness and instantly dated content, sometimes appearing a bit behind the times, like Uncle Bulgaria or your dad dancing at a wedding, when compared with the agile and responsive pithiness of social media channels. As the old philosophical conundrum goes, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, can it be said to have made a sound? Now, these days, one might say that even if someone is there to hear it, it doesn't really register on our collective aural awareness unless somebody films it and uploads the video to TikTok or Instagram stories or some other crowded thicket of the internet jungle. And the internet jungle is an appropriate term because it turns out that trees themselves have been using an information superhighway since long before Tim Berners-Lee had the idea. In 1999, a team of researchers in Switzerland fumigated a group of Norwegian spruce trees with an adapted form of carbon dioxide with a reduced level of the isotope carbon-13. Their intention was to study the efficiency with which carbon was absorbed by trees through the process of photosynthesis and distributed throughout its trunk and roots. What they discovered was pretty mind-boggling, even for seasoned academics used to studying the mysteries of nature. It turned out that the adapted carbon made its way into the roots of other trees. Now, it was known that tree roots sometimes connected with one another and transferred carbon that way, but this stuff was present in the roots of different tree species with no connection to the spruces at all. It turned out that the trees were connected by an underground network of fungi dubbed, excruciatingly, the Wood Wide Web. It's now thought that this internet of magic mushrooms might even enable groups of trees to survive adverse environmental conditions, sharing carbon equitably between weaker and stronger members of the community. Unlike its digital counterpart in the human world, this internet does appear to be unambiguously a good thing for its users. Transmitting vital material rapidly across great distances, boosting resilience at a societal level, and benefiting the wider environment too. Whether it also carries abusive messages or scandalous rumours about famous trees, or spreads fake news about the latest treatment for dry rot, is unknown at this stage. What we do now know, after further research published in 2019, is that different types of fungi are more popular in certain places than others, largely down to local climate. In cooler regions, where wood and organic matter decay slowly, fungi that build vast underground networks and can transfer nutrients over great distance are common, whereas in warm climates, the wood-wide web is more localized and won't share with outside networks, a bit like how iPhone won't interact with Android devices. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about all this is that despite its vital importance to our planet, it's all taking place beneath our feet at a microscopic level, so you will not read about it on Facebook, TikTok, or any of the other social media channels where most stuff that really matters happens nowadays. Although, given the famously close relationship between birds and trees, I wouldn't be surprised to come across a few angry tweets. So, the next time your MD questions whether the agency website is much use as a new business tool, just remind him that organic growth is the internet's natural purpose.
Hank Blank is back by popular demand, everyone, like a business development version of the McRib. Hank's about to hit the airwaves again, and for those of you asking who, allow me to bring you up to speed. Hank is our business development man in the USA. He's Canadian by birth, but Californian by mortgage. Hank is one of the country's leading go-to contacts when brands and companies need to find a new agency. His black book is guarded more carefully than the nuclear football, because who Hank doesn't know in the agency world just ain't worth knowing. Even through a pandemic and lockdown, Hank has been beavering away working undercover with clients to resolve their marketing and advertising problems. We last spoke to Hank in December last year, so we're well overdue for an update. That time, we were well into lockdown and clients were still in a state of flux with regards to how they keep their marketing ship on an even keel. So we wanted to get him back on the show because Hank tells us he's on top of the situation and he wanted to share some of his observations from the last 8 months, which include hybrid working arrangements, how to conduct agency searches under these new conditions, the dangers of Zoom calls, yes, I said danger, and how to find and retain talent in the marketing world. And I think if we all have time, we'll plunder Hank's book, Hankisms, to see if he's got any new ones for 2021. So, dear listeners, please welcome aboard Mr. Hank Blank.
Thank you very much, Keith.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Feeling positive, optimistic, because I don't like the alternative.
Well, so, what's been happening on the US scene since we last spoke?
Well, I think overall, agencies are doing much better. They're all busy. They're into a variety of working situations. I think some are still working from home and like it.
Right.
And quite frankly, there's a lot of different types of dynamics. You know, sometimes you can have an agency principal, I think, who always was in the office and now he's at home. And he says, hey, this is pretty good, because maybe in the office environment all day long, he couldn't get anything done because he get interrupted by people knocking on his door. Here, I've got this problem. What do you think I should do? And now he doesn't have to do that or do less of it.
Now he can just focus down on his work all day.
Yeah, I'm focused out. I don't know, maybe go golfing or whatever they do, So I think they're all busy. I think clients are in the same situation. It's funny because I know many clients and they say that the office is open but nobody's coming into work or few people are coming into work.
Right.
I personally think that human interaction for me, I'm a networker, right? And, with all health protections and vaccinations and all that, we don't have to talk about that, but obviously, if you're in good shape that way, like going in a few days a week is good. I like the whiteboard brainstorming. I like talking to people. I want to share a couple of things because I did a couple of agency searches this year.
Right.
And one was for a global med device company. That was very interesting. And they have some sensors that they sell to hospitals and they want to sell them to consumers. And you start to see more of that happening if you go into your local drugstore or pharmacy. You know, there's telehealth and all these other things and devices, and you see things, rings where they measure, you know, your oxygen level and other things. And as I've shared with you in the past, I love doing agency reviews. I've done them for over probably 25 clients. You know, I learn a lot, keeps me current.
Well, one of the things I actually wanted to cover with you, Hank, because there is something that from our conversations that we've had. I mean, in the USA, the term or your job description tends to focus more on the agency selection side of the business, and so I mean, whereas in the UK, I mean, your job doesn't entail cold calling prospective clients for agencies, does it? I mean, you know, your clients come to you looking for. You know, trying to get you to help them find the right agency. So your relationships tend to be more client focused than agency focused. Is that right?
Yes and no.
Right.
Because I'm a networker. I have worked with agencies in the past, helping them with new business development. And I am currently working with an agency in Brazil in Sao Paulo.
Wow.
How I got that through, you know, my network in Argentina, you know, and I have worked with an agency in Argentina in the past, developers, right? And programmers, because they're very, very talented. So I would say in the majority, I'm chasing clients, but agencies do come to me from time to time and say, hey, can you help me? And in this case, this agency, Sao Paulo, there are companies in California, technology companies, that are doing business in Latin America,
right?
And they just want to get connected to more of them. And so, but generally, you know, I'm retained and paid by the client.
Right.
And I prefer that because agencies, quite frankly, doing business development for agencies, they don't like to pay sometimes. They don't like to pay a lot of money, and they think the result, they think it's like shooting fish in a barrel. They go, hey, Hank, you've got 28,000 LinkedIn connections. You know, why don't you just, you know, I still get people from time to time saying, well, this will be passive for you. It'll be just like a passive income. You know, just send us the name of clients that, you know, are looking for advertising. I go,
yes. so that, I mean,
impossible.
But I mean, your connection, your networks, I mean, your network has been built up over, you know, a considerable amount of time, hasn't it? And I mean, that's basically your value to agencies and to clients is the fact that, you know, you do
come to me and it's a credible network.
And you're I mean, you are a kind of social influencer, really, if you think about
it. Yes, in a way. You know, so, you know, I was going to share, though, a little bit of my thoughts on doing, conducting these reviews, because I think that there's some challenges for agencies, and I want to give them some ideas on how they can improve their pitch. You know, obviously during the pandemic, you know, it's funny when I did both of these reviews, one were entirely online, and I mentioned the one large global med device company, and the other one was a financial healthcare company in a space, but very, you know, publicly traded on NASDAQ, $500,000 in sales. And so that we did it, some of this in with Zoom calls, some of it with hybrid, that some people came in, some members of the agency came in, and then some people were on a Zoom call, and then definitely some that were in person.
And did you give them an option as to sort of how they could sort of make their presentation?
Yes, but I strongly encourage doing it in person.
Wow.
And, you know, because for a couple of things. First, you know, I think of new business meetings as theater. New business has got nothing to do with advertising. New business, yeah, I've always said that. New business is about theater. And winning the business, right? It's about being peacocks, standing up, wearing your best outfit, and putting on your best show as if, you know, you're on the stage somewhere. And most agencies now, I found increasingly over time, they like to sit around the table and get the conformity of that and the comfort of that. And it turns it into a status meeting. And, you know, that's very difficult to build chemistry. 100%, very difficult. And secondly, it's very difficult. It neuters you. You know, you just become like the next agency that comes around in and says, I want to sit around the table. And I,
but do you think, do you think that, that, like, for example, I mean, we're talking together on, you know, on Zoom and stuff like that. I mean, do you think that our conversation would be better if we were together in person?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I could see the mug on your table and go, oh, England on it. And then, well, let's talk about, do you know what? You get to talk about things with the client and you get to talk about personal things.
Right.
Oh, I love your shoes. Where do you get those? Oh, I got them in Italy. Oh, I love traveling. I miss that. You know what? There's so many little things, you know, hey, and just the little touch points that are so important building that elusive chemistry. And chemistry is one of the sweat equity, experience, and chemistry are probably the three most important criteria.
Okay, so here's a question for you then. So if you're in a client presentation, you're running a client, a client pitch, and you have two agencies, one who's presenting live and one who's presenting via Zoom. Right. And the live one isn't as strong as the one over Zoom. Do you still think that the chemistry counts enough as to tip the balance?
Yeah, because you know what I do. And I had in this particular case, I'm not going to be saying this. This is the client said it.
Sure.
In the hybrid one, they left and the client said, I never felt any chemistry with them, except for one person. And that one person was sitting closest to them.
Right.
And that person was engaging with them. And that's what I found. And I think, you know, the other thing I found, and I thought this was kind of weird, but, you know, on these Zoom calls, and sometimes when during the pitch, the clients want to include, okay, let's get some other people on this call, you know.
Right.
And they're not really involved in the day-to-day. I think that's wrong personally, but I don't call that shot. And the agency would be presenting, and sometimes the clients would turn their camera off. Were they going to the restroom? But I thought, like, incredibly rude. You know what I mean? I mean, the agencies, but clients don't know how much effort it does take to put together a new business presentation.
Imagine, I mean, turning up to a pitch and then switching off the camera. That's just awesome.
Yeah. And you know what? And it's just like,
that's amazing.
Circles. And I got to tell you, on the agency side, and I got to admit, you know what? My background here sucks compared to your background. And it's just logistics. There's probably a better room that I would move it down for a Zoom call, but I'd have to take my entire desktop, and I've tried it anyway. It's a big hassle.
Sure.
I get interaction from people saying, oh, what about your posters? And actually somebody after the pitch sent me a Bob Dylan poster. But I think too, you know, when people, when I've had agencies pitch, you know, they've had washed out lighting because people can be remote now. Right.
Right.
And, you know, and I can see their bedroom in the back room, and some do it extremely well. Right. But sometimes people do it that could see open backgrounds and the lighting's bad. The audio's bad. And the other thing I think it does, you know, it's like Hollywood Squares. You probably don't remember it. But
oh, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it would just be actors, you know, in nine cubes answering questions. And you know, but after you do that and you see three, four, five agencies, it just homogenizes them all, right? They all look the same. They all look the same.
The personal relationship, what you're saying is that if you're one of three agencies that's pitching virtually, then you probably won't achieve the standout that the agency that pitches in person will do. Is that shorthand?
I think the other thing that's really important is that agencies have become comfortable with Zoom. It's easier. They can be in their shorts underneath, right? They conduct their meetings that way, right? They can be in their underwear or whatever the heck, you know? And the challenge is they're continuing it. And I think it's wrong. Like having client meetings on Zoom, I would pitch to have as many meetings in person. New business, 100% in person. 100% in person. And if you could say, well, I'm worried about this flare up of this and flare up of this, you know what? There are different environments that you could create. You know what? Restaurants have moved outdoors and, you know, they've taken out patios. Clients can do that. You can sit at outdoor tables. You know what I mean? You can make it work. Come on. You know, we're in the communications business. We're in the electronics business. You can certainly, if they can set up a screen in a park, you can set up a screen outside your agency and make it happen. You know, put up a tent, whatever. You know, just different environments, you know, to accommodate people.
What would your advice be to an agency who, let's say, you know, the chief creative director is not comfortable with going to an office or whatever, but obviously the pitch is quite vital. But I mean, should the agency sort of bend to the client, or does the agency have any kind of sort of legitimate excuse for basically saying no and trying to transfer the venue or trying to move it? I mean, do you think that would count against them in your book?
Well, I don't try to make a count. And I had one agency in a hybrid sit in their agency that did a hybrid. Some people came in and some people said, well, some people have spouses at home that have autoimmune issues.
Right.
Understand, right? Understand, you know, but, but I still think, what I'm saying, there's not one answer that's going to fit everybody, but, you know, I'm saying ditch Zoom, try to do things in person. And if your creative director doesn't feel comfortable with that, this is work. You know what I mean? That you could say, there's a whole continuum of where that could go, where it could be crazy, right? I'm not comfortable getting vaccinated, but I want to come into the office. Well, you know, talk to your, I don't want to go down that road,
no,
but,
sure.
You know, I think this is still a people business. And I guess my point is that a lot, you can get comfortable with things that are okay, but it's time to break out of the comfort zone.
Right. Okay. And I mean, you have written about this. I noticed because on your blog, which is at hankblank.com, you've actually got a sort of a pretty good piece that you wrote on conducting an agency search during a sort of a pandemic, and also the dangers of sort of Zoom calls as well. So it's pretty good for people to be able to kind
people
of read up on
that.
It. But I
and
mean,
the
do,
other thing,
do you
go
think
ahead.
Well, do you think that Zoom calls are here to stay though?
I think they're going to be less and less. There's some milestones, you know. When you say this is August, you know, I've heard clients say, well, September, we're going to make, you know, when the pattern changes of kids going to school, we're going to try to get more people coming back into the office.
Right.
So I think September might be a big milestone where people, and I've heard, hey, they're going to come in, you know, the agency I work with in Brazil, and they're having issues, you know, they're saying, hey, starting September, we're all going to come back into the office, you know, and it'll probably be 2 or 3, you know, days a week, some of, you know, it seems like the hybrid model, but yes, you know what, if you've seen some of the Zoom pitches that I've seen where compared to, you know, I'm looking at glare and somebody is talking to me from glare, you know, behind them is their black background, and I'm supposed to be listening and following them. And I guess I've I've seen enough that I've steered towards non-Zoom.
Right. Well, I mean, one of the reasons why I was interested was that I've had a couple of conversations that where it's certainly in the UK, where, you know, people are starting to get out again, and you know, they've gone to meetings, and it's kind of changed the whole dynamics of personal meetings now, because people aren't sure of how to behave now, because, you know, no shaking hands, you know, do you laugh with your hand over your mouth? How close do you sit to the client? I mean, there's a lot of that goes on in the UK. And I think there's still a hesitancy to obviously to get back into sort of what we deem to be normal in those days.
There's a client trigger. I got to tell you, through this experience that I just had of doing the reviews. So the client said, yes, you can come in, you know what? And when he came into the room, right, they're mm-hmm. all wearing their masks. And then they took their mask off, and one said something really simple: "We're all vaccinated."
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Comfort trigger is as if it switched into 2019.
It's weird, because I think that there is a big difference, and I'm sort of, you know, I'm not sure that it translates directly from the US to the UK, because I think that there's still. And maybe that's got a lot to do with the way that the furlough scheme operated in the UK, that, you know, people were encouraged. I mean, it's still at the point that we're recording this, the furlough scheme is still in operation, and people are being paid to be, you know, to stay at home. And whereas in the US, there was no such thing. So, you know, you're basically, you know, protecting your job by going into work and, you know, and making sure you had a salary. So I think there's a different sort of mentality. So it's quite interesting to talk to you about this, because there is a difference or a hesitancy in the UK that I don't think you've got in the US, which is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, well, you know, I consume a lot of British media, and yeah, there's a big difference between the UK and the US.
And do you think the furlough scheme was a good idea, or do you think it's actually? I mean, what are your views on it? Do you wish that they'd have had it in the US?
Oh, well, here in the US, giving money to people is socialism, right? You know, so, you know, that wouldn't work. And so, you know what I thought, you know, maybe we could change course, because we could start talking politics.
So, you know, no, this show is not a political show.
Bad for the show.
But so, I mean, okay, so here we go. We've developed an addiction now to Zoom calls. I mean, you're obviously saying, you know, maybe they're not going to be here to stay. I mean, but I mean, I think you're firmly of the belief that it's not going to be a panacea for our problems. I mean, so what do you think are the kind of dangers of being too reliant on Zoom? I mean, is it just that we're missing that chemistry?
The chemistry, the personal touch. And here, very slowly, you know, this month, there are networking meetings coming up, right?
Right.
And in person, you know, and you know, and I go for business development. Well, hey, cold call or go to a networking event?
No, wow. You know. How many people are you talking about these events?
40, 50.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, and now living in California, some of these are a patio situation, right?
Yeah, you do have the weather.
And we have the weather, and you know, there, you know, if people want to wear a mask, come through the mask, that's fine, you know. And but I see more of that happening. So face it, we've been in a rabbit hole for a long time. And my personality is, you know, when this thing started, I was wearing gloves and spraying down my grocery bags, you know, so I'm not one of these people that is out there saying, wow, go out there, you know, everything's great. It's not. But I'm talking about in new business development for agencies.
I definitely getting the feeling that you're straining at the leash to get off now.
Yes, I am, and I'm a networker, and so that's a big thing. You know, the other thing I think we have found, and I don't know how well we train our people about new business. And right. You know, during these reviews, I found, and we've talked about the chemistry a bit, right? But not only the Zoom addiction, but when you come into a client's office to pitch, and mm-hmm. these were the agencies that came in live. You know what? I wrote a blog to call it How to Build Chemistry During an Agency, Lose Your Posse. Because what the agency comes in, and many are youth-centric, right? And they've never been trained. And there's this community of safety, you know? So they all come in. They all sit near the screen as if it was a magnet. Right. And all they do is talk to each other. And I go, like, you only need one person to do the AV, you know, lose the posse, tell your people to spread themselves around the table. Like, we've lost that etiquette of, okay, in the last 18 months, okay, when you have a client meeting, how do you behave? Where do you sit? How do you act? Mm-hmm. How do you introduce yourselves? You know, and things like, hey, you know what? And go up to the client that generally sits at the end of the table or someplace and say, here's my business card. You don't have to hand it to them. You can put it on the table. I'm Zach. Hi, how are you? Yeah. You know what I mean? And this, you know, this dynamic dynamic of just sitting close to there. And I said, think of the conference room, not as a meeting room, but almost a dining room with guests, and stage yourself appropriately, you know, ask questions, interact, you know.
That's a good tip. That's a very good tip.
You know, when you go and you have a nice dinner party, it's because everybody's talking, and, you know, weren't they lovely? You know, Keith was a charming fellow, you know, and that kind of stuff. But it's the same thing in business. You know, when you leave there, if you've had interaction with them, say, I really like them. They seem really articulate. And this isn't me talking.
Right.
This is the client when the agency's going into the elevator, and when they're talking to each other, and I'm coming back in the room from escorting the agency into the elevator. You know, and the other thing is, agents, people go, well, how do I get this conversation going with clients? And I go, well, have you done your homework before a pitch? Do you know the name of everybody that's in that meeting room? And have you looked at their LinkedIn profile? Did they go to school in Switzerland? How many languages do they speak?
Right.
Those are just easy touch points. You know what? They're like, you know, easy.
Well, they're free, aren't they? I mean, that's the point. I mean, it's pretty unforgivable if you don't read up on somebody's LinkedIn profile on how to do this.
Yeah, and you know, like for me, you know, being Canadian, we touch a lot of different cultures, right? So I'm Canadian. I go, somebody said, oh, you're from Sri Lanka. Have you ever met? You know, have you ever read Michael Ondaatje's book? You know, The English Patient. I love him. You know, and, oh yeah, yeah. You know, you just go off and it's always good
conversation. It's conversation, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, that really
it's
is the
conversation.
Answer.
It's always good. It's friendly. And you know what? You feel good, you know, gives you some, you know, and smiles and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's easy if you do your homework, you know, and I'm talking really to young people because they're uncomfortable. Oh, a new business presentation, I'm a little uncomfortable. Can you to get dressed up really, really well? But it's easier for me to talk to my friends from the agency and rather than going down that 10 feet down down the table. And these are things that are very trainable. And, you know, once you learn them once, it's a lifelong habit.
Sure, sure. And something that you've cultivated for, you know, for most of your career as well.
Yes, for sure.
But what are the other kind of pitfalls that you've noticed that have come out from the pandemic? I mean, what's been your other observations? Now you're coming out the other side of the tunnel.
I get very few, I don't know, the agencies marketing themselves. I've always said, you know, and years ago I used to blog and say, you know, agencies tell clients to advertise and market. So then I see fewer newsletters. I see some from agencies, you know what I mean? I see, you know, here's our podcast. Mm-hmm. Here's our, you know, here's our blog. I see some of that starting to come back, right? And face it, if you're working from home in California, you've gained at least, even in Orange County, you know, you've gained an hour, 90 minutes just from the commute.
Right. Sure.
And if you're staying home, going out for lunch, you know, you've gained time. So there is time to do it. Right.
Right.
And so I see less of that. I see. And then the other thing I see is maybe when you're even on the Zoom calls, I'm surprised how few people get dressed for success, right? I'm not saying, you know what, because face it, we've been hanging around the house and, you know, a lot of people, and quite frankly, I did a new photo shoot 2 weeks ago.
We will use one of those photographs in the on the podcast.
And it is, you know what, I'm refreshing my brand like every 18 months. I did a COVID shoot at the start of COVID. I did a photo shoot at the start of COVID because I wore a mask.
Right.
And then I went out there very early on and said, wear your mask, you know, and put that on my LinkedIn profile. You know, this is one of them, you know, I was making my statement.
So there are ways, aren't there, Hank, to be able to, I mean, even if you are, you know, the sort of not comfortable with being out there, there are other ways that you can compensate for that by developing a brand for yourself. I mean, you know, I mean, the thing is, I'm based in the States and all my clients are in the UK, but now all my clients know me for the fact that, you know, that I'm the one with the, you know, the sort of the crazy background and, you know, and the sits in the studio. You know, I think that that kind of, you know, there are occasions when you can actually outmarket and overcome people's sort of phobias and demands that way. But so I think, I mean, you're a great example of that because you are, you know, you love to get out there and sort of promote yourself and put yourself out there visibly. And I think you are right. There's a lot of agencies that haven't been doing that.
You know what I would do too? If you're getting your agency back to the office, what I've seen this, and it's funny because you talk about England, and I saw something from Canary Wharf.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I know because I remember when it was built, and it was actually Canadian builders out of Montreal that built that, and they built a lot of things. I forget their names. And a lot of financial services and offices.
Sure.
And, you know, and I just can't travel, you know. I've been watching some of those videos, packed. It was absolutely packed because what people were doing is they were telling people to come back to the office and have a cocktail. And it was probably a 4, 5, 6 o'clock setting.
Well, that's always guaranteed to get people from the agency world out. Come and have a drink.
And I would say when you go back to the office, that's the way I would handle the first one. Thursday afternoon, 3:30 in the afternoon. And you know what we're going to have? So people kind of pick it all up. We're going to have a photographer there. And we're going to take some photos. You can use them for your LinkedIn profile. Re-energize the agency. Re-energize the people. Re-energize, rebrand, refresh. And say, okay, we're going to have a photo shoot, you know, get a white background. Hey, put this up on your LinkedIn profile, you know. But because these are such simple ways to keep in touch with that universe of prospects, right? How do you like my new photo? You know what I mean? Really simple things. Hey, we've gone back to the office. Even invite some of your clients. See if they want to join you, right? Maybe they've been locked up. So, you know, think about this. The emergence of your agency is a new business opportunity. It just has to be orchestrated and turned into a marketing event versus
That's a great, really good piece of advice there, Hank. We'll definitely definitely take advantage of that. I think, you know, the idea of making the comeback an attraction and a feature, and then, you know, getting everybody on board that way and showing that you are responsible, that you are taking, you know, you're taking their safety as a, you know, as a primary concern to the business, I think is very good. But so yeah, I think that's a superb hit.
I got that idea just by watching a video of them being Canary Wharf. That's the place, Canary Wharf, right?
Yep.
And that's South London, right? And pretty
well. It's the East End. What used to be the old East End, but
So it's, you know, but you know, they're all outside. But you know what? The other thing, there was a lot of warmth there because everybody's sitting at these long tables, is standing up. 9 people chatting, interacting, rebonding, you know what, and it just gets more energy into the shop.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Nice tip. Thank you very much, Hank. Now, I wanted to touch on the idea of the HR policy. I mean, we segued into that quite nicely, but I think there's some value in another sort of post that you've had about, you know, sort of the problems with finding talent now, because it's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because, you know, we're now in a world where, you know, we can access talent all over the globe if we wanted to,
right?
You know, but everybody's doing it. So, you know, what's your views on this?
Well, one thing's changed dramatically. I'll give you some perspective. You know what, even years ago, if you would bring somebody in and say, hey, he's a consultant to the agency, clients could get a little leery about that, right? You know, even that, oh, well, maybe he'll go away and he won't be available to us and all those things. And they're problemizing the whole thing before it was even a problem, right? So we've gone way and working from home and working remotely. You know, during these reviews, I had one agency that I know that's in New York, and we had a Zoom call, and one of the fellows was in Turkey.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know? So I think clients have become used to it, but I think, you know, do you really, you know, but there are all kinds of factors, time zones, right? I don't want to work with somebody in New Zealand, you know what I mean? It's going to be, how can we make that happen? So, but I think the biggest thing from both the client and the agency side, and the client and the agency side is there's a need for talent. And I'm not talking about restaurant workers here. I'm talking about product managers. I'm talking about marketing automation people. I'm talking about marketing coordinators.
Right.
And I heard it. You know, and it's both on the client side and the agency side. I think there's some key factors. I was listening to one podcast, and I don't want to say it, it's kind of, but in this one, he was talking about industry, and obviously COVID has hit, you know, an older demo for sure. But he said around the world, a lot of people have died. You know what I mean? And, you know, and it made me really think about that, you know? And I said, wow, you know, he's true. And they're not all old, you know what I mean? That's just something that touched me.
Well,
but I think the other thing that's happened is with schools being closed here in the United States, right? If I took an average agency PR firm, females, female folk, female majority, 100%, right? Mm-hmm. Probably 70, 80, 90% female. You know, I always joke when I go to a PR firm, oh, you're the token male, right? And in the agency business, a very high percentage are women, right?
Right.
And so what's happened is if you don't have, if your kids are at home and then childcare here is very expensive. And you start looking at that and say, okay, that was my gross pay, but my net pay, and then childcare is this much? Childcare can be as much as your mortgage. Right? So I've never read any articles about that, but I think a lot of people, and primarily female people, have dropped out of the workforce.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there has been a sort of an absence of or a sort of a decay of the sort of female employee numbers. And I mean, there was a report from the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, that came out that said, you know, that companies are still planning for growth. I mean, I think it was about 50% of the companies they surveyed were still sort of forecasting growth. And I think that the IMF is targeting something sort of just over 5% global growth, which is fantastic from an HR perspective, you know, because right. that means that you can tick all the boxes, you know, in terms of, you know, diversity, equity and inclusion promises and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not bleak from a strategic perspective, but, you know, the problem is that, like you've just pointed out, in the advertising agency world, there isn't really that much room for just employing warm bodies. I mean, everybody has a role to play in the agency. So,
right.
you know, you've got that, plus you've got a vast sort of amount of a vast pool of talent that you can draw from. But then you've also got the mental wellness issues, you know, and what you were just saying about, you know, whether it's possible to come back having, you know, been looking after children and stuff like that. So, I mean, what's your advice for agencies in terms of how to sort of find and retain new talent now?
Well, I think you have to start young, right? And I think, you know, that's the long road. I tell you myself, I was on a call, somebody asked me to do it, and these were, and I might have, and these were graduating students from Cal State Fullerton, and this came through World of Dance, their interns for World of Dance.
Right.
And they've graduated from school, and there's only 10 of them on the call, whatever. But I look at that, and I'm still always for myself, because my young interns have graduated now. Now I don't want to bug them to do a PowerPoint for me. You know what I mean? Because they're doing their own deal, right? So it's like, what are you doing? Are you getting out to schools? You know what? Are you going to any career fairs? I got an announcement for a career fair. Are you sending your HR people there? So first you have to do it at the start of the tap, right? At the start of the flow. And I think that's it. And I think the other way, I think the other challenge is, you know, with this whole recruiting thing is that some people are very reluctant to move. Okay.
Right.
And why? Let me give you a scenario. I'm for the last 18 months have not been in the office. I still have some of my peeps that I know, right? And you're asking me to go to a new company where we're going to be all remote. I don't know anybody. I don't know who's going to watch my back.
Right.
Who's going to, you know, stab me in the back. You know, every company's got politics, but you know, people start thinking about that. And why should I, you know, so there's a hesitancy to move. You know, the jobs haven't all vanished. You know, there's a lot of demand, like you said, 5% growth compared to this to the last recession. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find, you know, if I put out something on LinkedIn in the last recession saying looking for a product manager, I'd get 50 people,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
Now it's not the same thing. So the people are in their jobs. Some are very hesitant to move. Some have dropped out, right? Some have dropped out of the workforce and said, this is not worth it. And then the other thing is, you know, I still see, especially in the young 30-year-olds, right, where they have worked in an agency. I know many, I'm doing my own thing. Mm. You know what I mean? I'm doing my own thing. And when I talk to them and I go, well, my phone's ringing, you know, because there is activity out there, you know. It might have been very difficult to do it 10 years ago in the last recession when the economy was bleak. But now, because it is picking up. So I think, you know, I'm not an economist, but I think there's all those factors. So I will tell you one thing in hiring talent. I have one company, and you know what? I only have so much time, but besides doing agency reviews, because I'm a network, people often come to me, clients, and say, can you help me find talent? It's just another way of finding a resource for finding an agency. I tell clients, here, I can improve your marketing performance. I can help you get a better agency that's going to be, you know, give you more game, and you're going to have better sales, and I can improve your team, right? So they come to me and they do a team. And it's funny, you just said something. So every agency says best place to work for, and I know it is a total hellhole. You know what I mean? And it's funny, a large percentage of the companies that always, I found in the past, there's a certain percentage, not all of them, that, you know, said best companies to work for and applied for those were the worst places to work. You know what I mean? Were the worst. And that reputation is on the street, not for me. You know, it's like I'd have a coffee over the course of years when people say, what do you think? Oh, have you heard of that? Oh, that place is, I heard it's, you know, 3, 4, 5 people tell you that, you know what I mean? It's on the street. And I will tell you this, one company had a great metrics, a great nine squares on their PowerPoint. And why join us? And it was all the points that you just said, diversity.
Yeah.
Because that's an important value because of Black Lives Now. That is something that changed dramatically. All our brains got smacked in the brain going, wow, that we could be doing some things better, right? And then it was also work-life balance. Is that an important statement, even if I'm going into the office, since I'm coming from being all home? Absolutely. And then the other thing is that the employer, given, even though that this was a very large global company, that you weren't just a cog in a wheel, that you're empowered to make a difference and to make change. And you know, I sent that. But first, it made me so enthusiastic because they said I got an asset to sell and a culture to sell that, you know, I put more time into that because I really had something very tangible. And the people receiving it at the other end said, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right? So I think those types, having that, you know, for your agency or, you know, maybe taking this time and to rework that, your internal value and cultural things. And it's way beyond, you know, we got a foosball, you know, it's beyond that. You know what I mean? This is real culture. So I think that this talent issue will persist to be a challenge. But what's the best way to build that talent pool? Going out to the emerging networking events that are going to happen, right?
Right.
Going out there and doing it. Going out to the career fairs at colleges, because those colleges have been stymied too, right? A lot of them have been all from home. They've lost their dynamic. You know what I mean? So get involved and see those early. Well, you just have to be observant. And hopefully as an agency, you're going to be an early adopter of what's happening in consumer behavior. Mm-hmm. And, and not just paralyzed by this, you know, this is the way we've done it for 18 months and I've lost my inquisitiveness and I've lost my, I've just lost that. You just have to be inquisitive out there and doing it.
Fine. That's great. Good advice there, Hank. Thank you very much indeed. Now, before we wrap things up, were there any other points you wanted to raise first?
No, I think.
Okay.
I think it's a great time, and I don't know, maybe it was, as you mature, but I remember the last recession, right? And agencies were suffering, budgets were getting cut, right? And I see things are coming back even for, and now, you know, people weren't buying motorcycles, they weren't buying boats, they weren't buying tires even, you know, they weren't doing, getting their cars repaired. Now you can't even get a used car, you know? So it's a much better, and the growth figures, like 5% in the UK, they're talking about figures like that. Come on, these are mature economies.
Yeah.
And they're talking about 5%, you know? So I think there is a lot of opportunity, a lot of fundamentals are the best that they've ever been. But I think what we need to do is, and I have another blog, and I wrote it for myself, want to lose your COVID malaise? Get out there, get networking.
Sure.
Because we all become
a little bit sheltered. Yeah. So, okay. Well, look, one of the things I have been reading up on, and it does sit behind me, and I haven't put this up just for just because you're on the show, but your little book, your Hankisms book. Now, you told me you've been updating it for 2021. And what was the idea behind Hankisms when you first came out with it?
So I would have things. I might have a blog title, Facebook, not FaceTime, leads to relationships. And this is the importance of regenerating your youth network, right? And I got a young man that worked for me, and he said, we should turn that into a Hankisms. And I said, what the hell is a Hankism? And, and I'd have things, win new business by playing the quarter slots. It's just like that low probability game. Well, let's just send them something. Who knows? It's a waste of time.
Right.
And so I'd have a lot of photography from other young people that would shoot photography for me. And I said about, talked about, refreshing your brand. And he said, I started to put these up as on my LinkedIn update, right?
Right.
Instead of blog and a video. And I found, probably because it was very easy to read, I'd get 1,000, 700, 600, 500. I've had 4,000. But, that's a lot of eyeballs.
Yeah.
And when I used to go, when there were networking events, I would go in and people would say, you're all over LinkedIn. I see you all the time. I got an email, and we haven't been out this week, from somebody I probably haven't talked to in 20 years. She's in HR. She says, I love your branding online.
Yeah.
We haven't talked in maybe 15 years. Maybe, it was not that long. It was maybe, 10 years ago. I haven't talked to her in 10 years. She's talked to me about how my branding looks good. And when we had 150 Hankisms, he says, we should get a book. And I went to my French Canadian printers, the Gagnon brothers, and we printed the Hankisms book.
That's fantastic.
And you know what it is? It's just a personal marketing piece.
It's a lovely lovely piece of content marketing, though, Hank. Very good.
Yeah. When I go to have a meeting with somebody and I give them that, does it say I'm in the game or out of the game? It says I'm in the game. And then the other thing is, it's high quality. It reinforces my brand. And I've seen agencies do so similar things. Occasionally you would find agencies that have written books or written, and it's a great piece. It's a great statement.
Yeah, no, it's very good. So have you got any updated ones for 2021? Have you got any new Hankisms that you've, is there going to be a second edition coming out?
Coming back to the office is going to be a collision with the past.
Meaning?
And I got that because somebody told me they were back in the office and they said, I'm in the conference room looking at a whiteboard and it has our 2020 plan on it. And he goes, this is like, going backwards. So coming back to, and another one that I have is get ready for different, because everything is going to be different. Some is going to be very good, but everything is going to be different. I don't think that we've had so much change as this in the last 18 months. And this is one for me. I want to get rid of COVID fatigue, network.
Right. That's a great
one. Yeah. And then I have one, want to win more new business, lose the Zoom calls. And here's another one for, where clients haven't changed, right? Their mindset haven't changed. And this is a good hiring oxymoron. They said they were looking for an entry-level digital marketing specialist. Now, how can you be an entry-level specialist is beyond me, right? So those are some new ones. Sorry, I should have been prepared for
that's
that.
That's all right.
So
that's not a problem. Well, look, I think if I think you've now got enough to it sounds like you're sort of well on your way to a second edition of Hankisms. Now, if anybody listening to this wants to get a copy of Hankisms, and I'm sure you can send it to them, but anybody wants to get hold of you, what's the easiest way to reach you?
Just go to my website, hankblank.com.
Excellent. And right on the website, there's a fantastic resource of new business tips and sort of archive stuff there. So I mean, you've been running that website for quite a few years now, haven't you?
I have to update it. That's one thing maybe come out of this. I need to update it. But the other thing, if you go to my LinkedIn profile and you do, my posts still all be there. And you can see them because I probably post one every 3 to 4 days.
Perfect.
With the other content.
That's great, Hank. Listen, thank you very much indeed, my friend. It's been great to talk to you again. I realised it was December was the last time we spoke, so it's been quite a long time, and I've been looking forward to this. So I appreciate you putting some time aside, and glad that you're staying safe, and but still wanting to get out there. I can see that, and that's. Let's hope that next time we speak, you'll be back in full flow again. And I look forward to getting out myself as well.
Me too. And I've enjoyed it as usual. So we'll talk again, please.
Take care, Hank. All the best, my friend. My thanks to the fabulous Hank Blank. Once again, a fine report from the US. Sometimes it takes an outside perspective to see what's happening right in our own backyard, and it's just typical that a wily new businessman like Hank would spot it. If you enjoyed listening to the show, please let us know, drop us an email, click like, subscribe, or message me through LinkedIn, where I spend altogether too much of my time. My thanks to Team Fuel, that's co-producer Donna, the band, the Prospectors, Quijibo Design for all the IT and tech support, and to you. Thank you very much indeed for all your support. But for now, this is me, a Smith called Keith, signing off and wishing you a fabulous week, whatever you do. Happy prospecting from the Fuel Podcast, the show for the new business curious. And really, shouldn't that include you?